Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us for the first ever Fundraising Success Online Creative Summit. I'm Margaret Battistelli-Gardner, Editor-in-Chief of Fundraising Success and the host of today's event. Before we get started, there are a few technology pointers to help you enjoy your session. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or email our e-learning team at cswebinars@napco.com. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. And as noted on the console, you can click on the breakout widget below at any time to access the breakout sessions available via this webinar. Once you access a breakout session, you can go directly to another breakout by clicking on the gear widget on that console and so on. Of course, we encourage you to view all four of them. And if you can't watch them all today, come back starting tomorrow and watch any of the events on demand until May 24th of this year. Now, on to the main event. Today's topic is the direct mail fundraising package that took top honors in our Gold Awards for Fundraising Excellence back in September. It's a really fun and interactive package that draws recipients in right from the start. The package was designed by the folks at Russ Reed for their client, World Vision, and it garnered some remarkable results. Joining us today are Michelle King Rutter, Director of Extra Management at World Vision, and David Trim, Vice President and Creative Director at Russ Reed. And Fundraising Success Senior Editor Joe Boland is also on hand to co-moderate with me. He and I will be fielding your questions at the end of the presentation, so be sure to use the Ask a Question button on your console whenever something comes to mind. So, with all the introductions out of the way, I'm going to turn things over to Michelle and David.
Hi, everybody. This is David.
And hi, everyone. This is Michelle.
And that's Michelle, yeah. Hey, we just want to say a couple of things to sort of get us started into this thing. First thing, if you don't know who Russ Reed is, we're an agency that specializes in serving nonprofit organizations. But we are, in fact, the largest direct marketer of any kind west of the Mississippi, even though most people have never heard of us. So that's who Russ Reed is.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar with World Vision, but I thought I'd just give you a little bit of background. World Vision has been around since 1950, and we are a Christian humanitarian organization. We raise about $1 billion a year through our child sponsorship program and other relief and development work. We work in nearly 100 countries, and our goal is to really tackle the root causes of poverty and injustice by working alongside children and families that we serve. And I work within the child sponsorship program, and my job is really to help engage sponsors kind of over and above their monthly sponsorship commitment for their sponsored child.
So our two organizations have been partners for many years, over 40 years. I forget the exact number, but it's been a long, long time, and we sort of grew up together in a lot of ways. And, you know, one of the points we want to make today is that you really cannot have a great package like this without a sense of partnership between the people that are making it. Now, I know a lot of the folks on the line today may work with internal creative departments, marketing departments. They may work with agencies. You know, there's all kinds of different structures out there depending on the size and kind of organization you have. But the big deal for us is to come to understand a common goal and develop a common understanding of what works. And what we're going to talk about today is actually based on an approach, a general approach that has been developed over many years between our two organizations. There's been a lot of testing, there's been a lot of learning along the way, and there's been a lot of sort of stepping outside of our comfort zone. And so we want to sort of encourage anyone who's looking at this to say, well, how did that come about, to be able to say, those are good things to do. Really, I would even say the watchword for this is failure is good, because the truth is, we had to go through a lot of stages before this package worked, and we'll get into the details of that. But there was a particular thing in this package that we tried to do, I want to say about 50 times, I kid you not, 50 times, this is before it mailed, that we tried to lick this one little problem, and we had to keep coming back and back at it, and we finally got it. So that's just kind of the top line idea that we wanted to get into for today. So, that being said, we're thrilled to be here talking about and for the Fundraising Success Award. This is a package that did really well. It raised millions of dollars, actually, above and beyond what is normally done in these regular monthly gift packages. And it really is important to us that you know that as a result of this, this is a back-to-school greeting card, if you will, that the money it raised really goes to help hundreds of thousands of children who really otherwise would be caught in a terrible cycle of poverty and oppression. And they're now getting education and food and shelter and clean water and health care and lots of good things that is going to make life better for them from now on. So that, for us, is sort of at the heart of what this is all about. Michelle, I think you were going to tell them a little bit about sponsorship and how that works.
Sure. So I already touched on kind of who World Vision is and what we do. One of our largest programs or products is our child sponsorship program, and that started in 1953 as a small program and has obviously grown year over year. So the way that it works is that child sponsors make a monthly commitment to help one or more children, and what we do know is that most, not all, but most sponsors want to form a real connection with their sponsored child or children, but they don't always know how to do it. They don't know how to initiate the relationship. They don't always know what to write, what to say. So one thing that we do, and working with the agency, is to try to help sponsors to bridge that gap. And one of the ways that we found to do that is to offer these greeting cards that we send to the sponsor to help them to connect with their sponsor child, to help encourage their kids, and they can write a little note, but a lot of the sentiments are already kind of written in there so that they don't have to struggle with what to say, and it helps them in their busy lives also as a convenience to be able to send a quick note and not have to sit down and maybe pen a letter and not know what to say. And we do know that keeping these sponsors engaged and connected with their sponsored children helps keep them engaged with our organization, and so they are not going to look to go elsewhere and find other places to be able to sponsor a child. And, you know, by making this connection, we not only, you know, form these relationships, but we also do raise money through these packages to help children and to, you know, give them a better life and to help them to fulfill their potential.
Okay, so let's get into the package itself. So we mentioned at the top of the thing that this this is sort of an approach, if you will, that has been developed over the course of time between our two organizations. Now, the internal term we use for it is bounce back, although we don't ever use that term with the public, because literally the idea is that you are, you know, building this relationship between the sponsor and the child, as Michelle was saying, and you send them the thing, you know, that's going to bounce back, if you will. They're going to add their little note, and back it comes, and it's going to be a great way for them to connect. So five times a year, we create some version of this kind of greeting card activity booklet sort of a thing. We do it for Christmas, you know, so that you can send a Christmas greeting, an Easter greeting. Don't forget that this is a Christian organization, and the people that are doing this are definitely motivated, excuse me, along those lines. Birthday cards is another big area. We also do a little annual calendar. And then this is the fifth version that we call Back to School. And it goes out at the time of year when you know, kids are going back to school, and it's just a great way to sort of bump up the idea and the importance of education through a package that is both fun and educational. One of the things that we do in all these packages is we're very careful to personalize both in the letter that you're looking at now and on the the card, the thing itself, that's going to go to the child. So it's got the name of the child, you know, in the letter. We're always thanking the sponsor for helping this particular child by name. And then the package says, hey, little Susan, here's your package, this sort of thing. And so that way the child knows and the sponsor knows that this is absolutely for their kid. The idea of this particular package is really, you know, using flight as a metaphor for the idea that kids' dreams can really soar, take off, that sort of thing, not to torture the metaphor too much. But that's really behind all of this. And we also, in this package, use this flight theme not only to tie it all together, but also to explain little aspects of flight in quick little segments that are easy to digest and that are, again, hopefully both fun and interesting. And, you know, it's filled with all kinds of language, like, you know, send children back to school with high hopes, inspire them to reach for the sky, you know, thanks to you, their dreams will soar, and, you know, that sort of thing. So we keep that idea going throughout the package.
David, do you mind if I interject real quick?
No, please do.
Do you create new themes every year for each of the mailings, or is this something that you test against?
Well, we do create new in the bounce back area. We do create new themes for each package every year. Now there are other parts of the mailing stream that we do for sponsorship that you know, lend themselves more to how you would think of typical direct response stuff, which is you create a control package of sorts and you remail it in this. But there are, as I'm sure most of you face this same issue, that there are limitations about how long you can use a story or a photo. I believe it's about 3 years, according to the Better Business Bureau, before they say, please don't use that story anymore. That child is now a grandfather, you know. So we do have limitations along those lines, which, again, I'm sure people are aware of. But these are done unique and specific year over year.
Joe, this is Michelle. I would also like to add that, you know, our audience stays the same. We don't have a ton of cancellation for sponsors, so if we were to mail the same package over and over again, it would be virtually the same people seeing it and going out to the same children. So that's one of the reasons that it's important to keep the creative fresh and to redo it for each of the greeting cards, since sponsors do tend to stay with us for quite a long time, and so they would see things, you know, over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So as you're looking at the outer envelope here, and we sort of saw the back of it a moment ago. Let me go see if I can. Oh, sorry, no, I did that wrong. We're going to see the back in a moment. The outer envelope is obviously sort of colorful and interesting and engaging, and you know we're always mindful of the idea of being clutter busters in the mailbox. So in a 6x9 package, we really want something that when it arrives in the mail, immediately your eye goes, what is this? And if you're one of the sponsors that has sort of gotten used to this program, you're going to go, oh, it's the next greeting thing to send my kid. That's great. I'm excited, hopefully. So anyway, this is what the front of the package is about. And we do even find a little place to make the point as we get to the back here that you're going to, you know, take your child to new heights and that sort of thing. Let's see. One of the points that I was going to make here is throughout this package, we looked at the letter briefly. Obviously, these kids that we are talking to live all over the world. There's 100 different countries that World Vision, or about 100 different countries that World Vision has kids in. And so they don't all speak English. So one of the challenges of this package is in this very personalized area, we want to be able to communicate directly with these kids. And so the good news is that we don't have to communicate in all the hundreds of different languages that are out there. World Vision and Rush Reed have been able to sort of work through a process and determine that there really are 5 major languages that will speak to you know, the vast majority of these children, in fact all of them on some level. And they're English, French, Portuguese, Spanish, and Swahili. So you'll see when we get a little deeper into it. In fact, let's just go on into it now. That there are areas where we doing things both in English and in other languages. So if you look at this panel, the little girl down at the bottom flying the kite, and the panel right directly above that, all of these things are in English, so the sponsor can read it. But there's also an area where it can be put into the appropriate of those one of those five languages as we're going forward. So, anyway,
David,
yes,
I did also just want to jump in and say that several times a year on our packages, though, we'll kind of pick and choose. We do have translations for different sayings in over 101 languages, many of which are, you know, extremely specific to certain villages or areas where the children live. So, for instance, happy birthday can be translated into those 101 languages. So the child will, at certain times throughout the year, be able to read the language that's specific to the area where they live. And then again, you know, there's these other kind of five languages that are the main languages, but we do drill down and offer different sayings in the languages that the children speak.
Yeah, things like happy birthday, Merry Christmas, and those kinds of things that we can just do a quick little something that is right on to their language. It's just that extra level of personalization that we think is really cool. And you know, gives that child the sense of, hey, they kind of actually know who I am. So that's at the heart of all that. If anyone is thinking, well, you know, not to get off on too much of a technical sidetrack, but the way that we're able to do that is those little 101 sayings are actually treated as graphic files. So we're not, you know, we're not trying to solve for how we're going to, you know, have the Korean language font suddenly have to kick in as you're doing the printout of things. So that's what allows us to kind of do that is we have those quick little things and we treat them as graphic files. Okay, so while we're on this page, this is where we get to the 50 times we failed, which is the airplane. You know, again, in these back-to-school packages, we try to have a variety of different kinds of things that will engage kids in different ways. And here we thought, you know, let's do the classic paper airplane. It's just something that we think, you know, resonates with everyone and not only with children but with the sponsors themselves because, after all, this is also a fundraising package, right? We want people to engage with their kids. We also want them to send us a donation and support the work. And I think the more we can speak to the hearts and minds of our audience, our giving audience, as well as the children, you know, that's a sweet spot. So this felt like sort of a classic sort of human, almost Americana thing, but also something that can be enjoyed by children around the world. So. Now, the airplane itself is where we had all the trouble. Because I don't know if everyone remembers, but as if you ever had like one of those balsa wood airplanes as a kid, they always had like a little plastic piece you put on the nose. Maybe it had a propeller on it, or maybe it was just a little blunt thing. But they had to have this weight on the nose in order for the thing to fly. And you don't think of it like that when you're a kid. You're just like, oh, yeah, it's got a propeller. Well, guess what? It's aeronautically necessary for the thing to fly, otherwise it just nosedives. So within the confines of this package, you know, we have budgetary limitations, and you start putting things like that in. Not only are you paying for the piece itself, but for the postage to ship it to the sponsor so they can sign the thing, as well as to ship it on to the kid. So we thought, gosh, we really want to do this airplane thing, but we kind of think it ought to fly, you know. And so,
David,
quickly,
I'll jump in.
Yes,
I think
please.
Actually the mandatory was, and I think we may have said this in every meeting that we had, is this is great, but it has to fly.
Yeah,
that
right.
was the end of it. You know, it has to fly, and we definitely tested it quite often. I know you did as well. We tested it here, so that was it. It had to fly.
It was tough, and I'll tell you, at one point, we almost gave up on this format and went to the kind of the old style where you take a piece of paper and fold it up into triangles and that, and we just thought, you know, for a gift to send a kid, we really want to send them the airplane-shaped plane. So the art director and the print production manager worked on this over and over and over again. They tried all these different things. How do we get some weight into the nose? They went on to NASA websites, and I mean, they went everywhere just trying to figure out how to become aeronautical engineers and make this silly thing fly. Well, what you're looking at here on the page is the answer they finally arrived at, which is, if you need more weight in the nose and all you've got is paper, then let's put more paper in the nose. And you look at the little gray numbered graduated panels rising out of the nose, and the idea is when you punch this thing out, you're going to fold each one of those things up and stuff it up into the nose. And that gave us enough of the extra weight to make this thing actually fly. So it was a long, can I say long a couple more times, process before we finally got to where the thing would fly. But we did, and we're really happy, and that's how we got there. So this is the if you imagine this thing all folded up, the little girl in the kite and the little boy in the kite, that's the front of the outside part, and then the panel above that is the area where the sponsor would sign their note and return this, and then the airplane that you're seeing there sort of folds up on the inside. So now we're going to go look at the flip side of this piece, right? So here we are on the other side. Obviously, you can see where the airplane itself is and where you would punch it out. And so what we do here is also, you know, try to bring in this educational aspect. So you see we started talking about all these different little aspects of flight, sort of fun facts, if you will, like the fact that many birds have hollow bones, which is what helps them fly, or that a hot air balloon rises because of the expanding air that's getting hotter, or the space shuttle flies backwards, or whatever. So just those kind of things that hopefully will inspire a kid to go, wow, flying is a cool thing. I got to punch this plane out and go. And wow, do I love my sponsor for sending me this thing, right? Michelle, I think I may have stepped on your area a little bit mentioning the two audiences.
Perfect. I'll jump in here and just touch on that a little bit, and thank you for bringing it up. You know, one of the unique challenges that we have with these packages is that there's actually two unique audiences that are going to receive it. You know, the first is the sponsor, since they have to see the package in their mailbox and choose to send it on to their sponsored kid. So the first thing that we have to do is ensure that the sponsors are going to see it, that they're going to like it, that they'll see value and see, you know, that they would like to send this on to their sponsored child and think that it's going to, you know, encourage their sponsored child, help them connect with them, help teach them something important. So that is the first kind of line is that, but we also have to make sure that ultimately it pleases the sponsored children who receive it in the field, and that it's relevant to them in some way and not so far, you know, out of their comfort zone that they won't even understand it. So that is definitely a challenge that we have to, you know, we have to battle every single time. So it definitely keeps the agencies on their toes trying to solve for both, and there's some tension there sometimes because, you know, perception is reality. Not tension between us, but the tension of trying to serve two different audiences.
Yeah.
So they did a great job with this, and I do think that this really captured kind of the joy, and I'm sure that sponsors felt this way, and we heard that, of, you know, sending paper airplanes out to fly as a child, and how they could see their sponsored child receiving this and experiencing that same joy.
Yeah. So,
great job.
Well, thank you. And to you. See, it's all about partnership. So obviously we've talked a lot about so far in this package about engagement and the importance of creating that connection with the child. But there are a lot of interesting other aspects to this package that we wanted to touch on briefly that we think have to do with why it became a highly performing package. And one of the little techniques we use is including an additional insert, in this case, one that ties into our education theme by telling the story of a young girl that is dreaming, a young girl in Sudan that's dreaming of being a teacher, and really some of the challenges that she's faced, and why we need to also be sort of focused on this particular area of the world in Sudan in order to sort of help make sure that we're supporting this kind of work and thinking here too. So this is we're going to get into offer in a moment, and this leads into that a little bit, but this is definitely one of the areas in which we sort of broaden our story, support what we're doing in the thing, and really offer an extra opportunity to do something.
Perfect, and I'll just jump in and say that we have definitely tested into offering an insert as an additional portion of the package, and we do our best to try and make sure that the theme of it hangs together. So in this case, you know, it's the education piece of it and making sure that we are tapping into that theme of the entire package. But I also want to say that at the time when this mailed, Sudan was back in the news. So I know it's not always as relevant at certain times, but that was why we chose to feature this particular story in this package. They had quite an influx at the time into some of these camps where these kids live, and so that is part of why we chose this package and also to raise money for Sudan.
Yeah. So that leads in perfectly to our next little section, which I would informally title Know Your Audience, because here this slide, we're going to show you a variety of different offers that we put in front of this audience. Let me take you through it real quick, and then I'll talk to you a little bit about why we did what we did. So on the reply device in this package, we asked for a lot of different kinds of things. One is to give a donation to provide education and more for unsponsored children. One is just simply to throw in a $5 gift to help with shipping and delivery. Another one, which is really at the heart of what's going on with all of this, is be sure and fulfill your monthly pledge commitment. It's very important, obviously, that we want sponsors to keep coming with their gift every month. And a lot of them are on credit card, but a lot of them still send in checks. So we want to keep having those constant reminders, like don't forget your child needs their help, send this in. And then this next bullet point, donate for food and more for families in Sudan, that ties back to the insert that we were just looking at. And then always having an opportunity that, hey, maybe you want to sponsor yet another child for $35 a month. You'd be surprised how many people will get a package like this and go, this is fantastic, I'm taking on another kid. So when you look at this slate of offers, you're very likely going, wow, that's an awful lot to ask. That could be confusing. That could throw me off. And, you know, if you go down the hallways of classic direct marketing firms and agencies and organizations, you're generally going to hear people say, wow, that's just too much. You're just going to overwhelm them with that. Well, this is where being in a constant state of testing and learning and paying attention to your audience matters. Because even though in other parts of the World Vision donor audience that we talk to, that rule holds true that you don't want to overcomplicate it, we have learned that with this highly committed group of sponsors, that actually putting a variety of these different offers up not only increases the giving overall because of the extra opportunities, but it actually drives the numbers up in the core areas. In other words, if you were just to look at that very first bullet point, give a donation to provide education and more, that number goes up as we add more of these other offers. It seems very counterintuitive, but the audience has taught us that giving all those specific opportunities to make a difference inspires them. So that's kind of just an interesting and kind of wild thing that this audience has taught us. And we, you know, we really had to sort of set aside some of our classic learnings and go, oh, okay, you must know what you like, and so we're going to give it to you.
I also did want to jump in on one other thing, David, and that is that, you know, as we talked about, there's kind of two objectives of this particular package. The first is to help sponsors engage with their sponsor child, and obviously it's to raise money. But we do allow sponsors the $5 for overseas shipping costs. That is optional, so that sponsors can send back their greeting cards and we'll send them on to their sponsored child without any donation at all. And there are some sponsors who maybe don't have any extra money to give, but they still want to be able to connect with their sponsored child, and so this package affords them the opportunity to do that, and they don't have to make an extra gift. And, of course, we're going to send it on as a service to them, to their sponsored child in the field without a donation.
So... yeah.
That as well.
So at the end of the day, it all comes down to inspiration. You know, we want to inspire kids. We want to inspire sponsors. We want to inspire them on the level of, you know, really caring about the issues we put in front of them. And we want to inspire them on the other side to join in the fun of childhood, if you will, and be a part of supporting that child that they're helping. So. That's the package in and of itself, and I bet maybe somebody wants to hear a little bit about how it did. So we kind of thought we would touch on some of those things. Now, this mailed in 2010, and World Vision was working with tighter budgets, frankly. I think most organizations have been the past few years. And so because of that, a decision was made that this package would not go out to every single sponsor. I mean, and you can imagine on these lists, certain people get certain mailings, certain people get other mailings. And so in this one, the overall mailing quantity was reduced, you know, versus the previous year by nearly 22%, 21.6% versus, excuse me, how many of these back-to-school packages we had sent in 2009. So right away, there's a little bit of a disadvantage because we're just not going to as many people. However, at this really significantly lower quantity, this package raised almost exactly as much as the previous year effort had with a much broader mailing. The average gift was almost identical, and at the end of the day, it proved that, you know, with an idea like this, we got more people responding, 26.4% more people, to be exact. That really led us to a better place with this. You know, naturally, mailing to fewer donors cost us less money overall, and that was critical in a recession. The total package, creative printing, mailing cost, the whole enchilada was decreased by 9.7%. So at the end of it all, it translated to an income-to-cost ratio increase to 7.7%. You know, that's $7.70 for every dollar you invested, which was a positive growth of nearly 10% over the previous year. So that's roughly what the results are.
I know how you mentioned that you mailed less of your monthly donors and sponsors. How did you go about vetting the list, decide which segments you were going to leave out this time around?
Michelle, you can jump in with specifics, or I can speak to it more generally.
Why don't you speak general, and then I can jump in.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, you tend to mail to your best donors, and there's all kinds of little formulas that are employed across the mailings that we do that have to do with, you know, recency, size of gift, how often they give, you know, those kinds of things. So the matrix for that is not anything particularly surprising. You know, we're mailing to our best donors, our best sponsors along those lines. That's the general answer.
And I can just echo that to say, yes, we do, you know, we do take a look at recency of gift. We also take a look at participation. So whereas you may leave out some people who didn't give a gift to the package before, if we we do track sponsors who send back the cards as part of an engagement but maybe don't give that extra gift, and we wouldn't want to exclude them because we know that they actually like these cards but they maybe don't have money to send the cards, you know, extra money with the cards. So we will include those people that we know like to engage with the cards, these as well as a service. And then, you know, we may not mail some people who haven't responded to this particular package, you know, for a few years now. So those are the types of things that we would look at.
Okay. And given the success of this, I mean, what part of the elements did you think really helped, you know, push it over the edge and make it so successful this year?
Well, I would say, you know, what I would call the wow factor, you know, just the idea that the airplane itself was unique, and I think even without you know, having the benefit of anyone knowing the backstory on everything that it took to actually get it made, just the fact that it's there, that it has the child's name on it, that it obviously has a somewhat clever and unique way of flying with the thing that folds up in the nose. I mean, we think people really responded to that. I mean, like I say, year after year, we are mailing a back-to-school greeting of different sorts, and we do all kinds of different things. Sometimes it will have little rulers and multiplication tables in it. One year, we did tangram puzzles. If you know what that is, it's basically taking different geometric shapes like triangles and squares and trapezoids and sort of showing you a variety of different little characters and things you can make. And that was something that was used to sort of help teach geometry, the idea of geometry. So I think flight is just something that is in and of itself inspiring, and that and the iteration of it in the plane, I think, had a lot to do with people going, "Now, this is cool." I mean, you want people to go, "This is cool. I want my kid to have this."
This is Margaret. I can vouch for the wow factor because when I got this for the Gold Awards, I played with it before I even gave it to the judges. So I didn't punch anything out because it had to be intact, but it was definitely a very, very cool package. I'd like to ask both of you, can you take a few minutes to tell us what you think, but before we get to the Q&A from our attendees, can you take a few minutes to tell us what you think the top takeaways are for our attendees who are looking at this package? What can they take back to their organization? You know, if you could give us a few, that'd be great.
Well, I'll start if that's okay with you, Michelle, and you can jump in.
Sure.
We kind of started with a couple of those ideas because it's like, all right, so what's universal to this that's applicable? And I really think some of the things that we started with, which is the idea of partnership and communication between the people in your organization or organizations that are working on this. And I think it means you have to come to things in the spirit of learning and testing and being willing to step outside your comfort zone a little bit, right? General approach has been tested and developed sort of slowly over time, but each time I feel like both of our organizations say, What can we do now that's going to push it a little bit further? And honestly, every single package we do does not outperform the last one. Sometimes you'll do something like this and you'll go, well, that, you know, we took a good stab at that. It didn't do quite as well. We won't do that again. But I think it's very important that people come to this in the spirit of, you know, we have to keep looking for ways to improve on what we're doing. I mean, in some ways, that's direct marketing 101, right? You know, we've got something that works fantastic. How can we beat it now? And I think you always have to be in that spirit. So that's the big one for me. I mean, obviously, there's all kinds of sort of tactical things about this. You know, we have financial parameters and things like that, and so much of the creativity, if you will, that went into this package was, how do we keep it in budget? You know, one of the conversations that I feel like we get into very often is, well, we have to spend on this, we have to spend on that, and not in these packages, but some other packages we do, people were like, well, we just can't afford four color. We just need to do it in two color. And, you know, they look at me as the creative director and say, oh, I know you're not going to like that. And my answer is always, you can be creative in one color or two colors or whatever. I mean, if you think about the film industry, for instance, independent filmmakers are the ones that create a lot of the innovations that, the big movies wind up doing. And it's not because they're going, oh, how can I be so creative? It's because they're going, I can't afford that. What can I do that's sort of like that but cost less? And so we're always kind of wearing that hat, is how can I do that really cool thing, but how can I also do it in a way that's going to fit within budget? And that's part of it, too.
And Michelle, did you have anything to add?
Sure, I've got a couple things. First of all, and this is kind of more tactical, but it is something that I think is really important. We work together with the agency, and we collaborate with them, and we always work off of a creative brief. And that really helps us. It helps to keep us on the same page. It helps to make sure that we've defined kind of the parameters and in the space where we have room to play still. But we can always evaluate the creative against the strategies and the objectives that we set for the package. So I really feel like that's a way that we, you know, kind of start off on the right foot with each of these packages. So I would say that's something that's really key and has been key to our success, is to make sure that we do that when we haven't. We sometimes find that maybe we're not on the same page.
Michelle, can you explain exactly what that is?
Sure. So we basically have a document that we work on collaboratively, and it is kind of a place just to capture, you know, what's the main objective or the goal of this package. So for us, it would be to make sure that we're enhancing the relationship between the sponsor and the sponsored child by providing, you know, the donors with this device or this car that they can send as an encouragement. You know, we might also, we capture what the main offer is going to be. What's the emotional benefit? Like, what do you want sponsors to do when they open this? How do you want them to feel when they get this package in the mail? And so this is really what we work off of, and it has all of our objectives, what the strategy is, you know, how much money we want to raise, you know, what the tone of the package should be, any insights that we have into our sponsors. So oftentimes we'll have their, you know, who is the audience? Because really knowing your audience is marketing 101, and so that is really important. And we also kind of put here what the theme is, so that we make sure that the whole package hangs together and that it's all kind of working together to say the same thing. So those are important. And
yeah,
that really helps us to be able, when we get the creative, to look back at this and say, does the creative do what we wanted it to do? And so I really feel like that has been something. And we actually, as a client, we work with the agency on this, but we actually have to sign off on this brief before work gets started.
I think that's really important. Yeah, it's definitely good to set those parameters. And another thing, too, you know, a trap that I think is very easy for anyone who's trying to fundraise, a very easy trap to fall into, is the problem of kind of speaking to yourself, right? Because, you know, we're always saying, oh, we really need this, and we really need to achieve that, and all that. And one of the things that we, and it's partly driven by this sort of double audience idea of this package, the audience of the sponsors themselves and then also the children. But it's very important to try to step back from, you know, our own little worlds and our own little objectives. Yes, we have to know them. We've got to know how to get to them. But as we create the communication and send it out, we really have to try to work hard to walk in the shoes of the person that's going to get it from both ends, you know, both the sponsor and the child. And so it means that one of the very, very important aspects of this package, and really everything that we do for World Vision, is the notion of storytelling, right? We are really very much in the realm of believing that people give first from the heart and then from the head. Yes, they want to know you're a credible organization, and we put that kind of information in, but it's always the secondary. It's always the permission to believe that it's okay for you to want to play with that airplane, right? So we want to be emotional, just like in the little insert that we showed you about the girl from Sudan. We also do it in the letter. We do a lot of storytelling about, you know, a particular child, the difference that this makes in their kind of life, and really hopefully sort of draw you into that narrative of wow, I mean, this is really transformational stuff, and how cool is it that you can kind of capture the feeling of it in a little paper airplane? So that's part of it too, is the storytelling and the really the leaning hard on the idea that you are really making a difference as a donor to transform children and the whole world.
We have a question. We have a couple of questions specifically, about this package. One of our attendees would like to know what the ROI was on the appeal.
Well, we were saying earlier that it was 7.7 to 1.
Okay.
That's our income to cost ratio.
Okay. And also, was there any follow-up done? Was there any kind of tie back to the package? Like, for example, did you send a photo of a child who used the airplane along with a thank you note to the sponsor? Was there any kind of tie back for the sponsor?
Well, of course, it's part of a larger stream of things that we do. So the short answer is there's not a specific follow-up to the package that says, and here's a picture of your child throwing that airplane, because that would be a pretty cost-prohibitive thing to do, to go out to the hundreds of thousands of kids out there and get all their photos. But World Vision is always very, very purposeful about going back and thanking their sponsors for the wide variety of things they do. So they do get thanked in a variety of different ways, including a year-end statement and all those sort of things. But the letter itself includes affirmation. You know, I mentioned that we personalize in the letter on the front end and say, you know, first off, I want to thank you for all the wonderful things you're doing, you know, for little Belinda. You know, you're making such a difference in her life. And today you're going to get to send her this cool paper airplane. So we do some of it preemptively, too.
And I would also say on the letter front every single year, so when we send out, you know, this year's back-to-school package, we'll show photos of kids holding last year's bounce backs in the field. So we do show photos of kids. It wouldn't be your sponsored child, but we do always show kind of photos of the previous year's bounce backs with children and talk about, you know, their story or you know, how it feels to them to be able to receive that. And even recently, I'll say we did follow up. We did a blog post and an email and some other things to talk about, you know, what these bounce back greeting cards mean to kids in the field, and we showed video of the kids receiving them in the field. So we do, you know, find other ways to show sponsors, you know, what these cards mean to their sponsored children and what happens when they receive them.
I just kind of pulled us back to the letter here so you could kind of look at a little example of what Michelle is talking about in terms of showing a child that received something the previous year. So that in that little sidebar area, I don't know how well it reads on your screen, but that's typically one of the things that we do, is we kind of, you know, keep them in the idea of this is part of a number of things that you're doing to communicate with these kids, and they keep getting them. So that's our answer.
Someone else just asked, did you introduce any other channels into this campaign, either pre or post mailing, emails, or something that to reinforce the ask? Or was this strictly direct mail?
Well, it's an area that we're working on growing all the time. World Vision has a very robust website, and it is very focused towards sponsorship, because that's their flagship product. It's their flagship product. I don't know why I couldn't get that. And so there are a number of things that are being done again, not necessarily specific to this package, but there are emails that go out all the time. Obviously, there's display. The website is very robust. There's lots of Facebook pages, those kinds of things. But specific to this package, there's not a chaser package to it or that sort of thing.
We do often send emails reminding sponsors that their bounce back has been sent and it's in the mail and to send it back. And those are pretty simple emails that we send out. And we don't do them every time, but we do them throughout the year to help, tell people to send them back.
Parallel to this program in sponsorship, there's a monthly receding program,
yes.
which really is more for the benefit of cash and check donors versus, it does actually reach credit card donors as well, so I shouldn't limit it that way. But that too would be an opportunity for a thank you and a follow-up that would be somewhat specific to this package. It would be like, yes, we received the gift you sent with this. Thank you so much. You're really wonderful and you're making a big difference. So there is that, but it's not necessarily themed around, say, the flight discovery kit at this time.
Do you plan on testing any other variations of this package, or was it a one-time thing?
Well, good question. As we said at the beginning, our thinking is to come with something, unique every time out within this program of these greeting cards, partly, as Michelle said, because you have sponsors that are here year after year. I mean, there are people that have been sponsoring, children through World Vision for many decades. Obviously you could probably remail something like this, down the line, but we would not take this per se and try to repurpose it directly. What we would do instead is sort of try to take the learning from it and say, okay, so people responded to this thing that you can kind of pull out and assemble and play with, and that really stands in a way as a metaphor through flight for the idea of dreaming and looking ahead. So we would take that general learning and try to apply it to a future package, but not let's do another paper airplane.
Okay. Someone had asked if there was a way to get a copy of the creative brief template that you mentioned, Michelle. Is there some place that they can Google that and get a little more information on that?
David, do you want to address that, since the brief format that we use is one that you created?
Yeah, I tell you what, I know that there is a follow-up mechanism to this, so we'll work with our team to make something available that people could look at. I'm not sure, obviously for purposes of keeping certain things of our client under the hood, as it were, there would be some things we could strip out, but we could certainly look at a template and be able to send people something that would give an idea of how we put that information together. So just follow up with us afterwards and we'll look for a way to get that to folks.
Okay, well, that's a good way for me to let everybody know that there are going to be questions that we don't get to, so we will either pull those questions together and send them out in an email, or we'll address them in an upcoming edition of Today in Fundraising, which is our e-newsletter, which comes out every day. So there will be a follow-up to this, because it's very difficult for us to get to all of the questions. This is a question that talks about something very specific. Our attendee said that for charities serving kids in the USA, privacy issues might make it difficult to make a direct mail package as personal as this. Do you have any ideas for how child sponsorship program in the United States can be as successful with a package like this, but not be able to have the level of personalization that you have?
Well, child privacy is a huge issue, and believe me, it's one that gets a lot of conversation between our two organizations. So it is huge, and it really leads you into areas about being careful about things that you never dreamed you have to be careful about, like you're saying. As far as the the legal limitations about how you personalize for a child in the U.S. I don't know all the laws with that. I mean, we do domestic packages for World Vision, which also has domestic programs. We also, Russ Reed also works with a number of domestic organizations like rescue missions and food banks and things like that. And it is true that there are limitations about that. And what I would say is it leads you to a place where you have to do a little more representational storytelling. You might not be able to say, your child, Belinda, is so lucky because of you. And instead, you'd have to say, let me tell you the story about a girl named Susan that we can tell you about. And this is like the child that you're helping in that way. So, I mean, that's sort of the fast and easy answer is stick to the storytelling aspect. Stick to the personal details as much as you can. And if you are limited on really calling out the name of a child, which would be nice if you could, then at least be able to tell a good, solid, emotional story about a child like that.
Margaret?
Yes.
Was the question actually directed about the story itself that we talk about within the letter, or to be able to personalize the actual, whatever we call our bounce back or our greeting cards with the name of the sponsored child? Is that the concern?
I thought it was the latter.
Yeah, it talks about personalization, yes.
Yes.
So one of the things is, could they use just the first name?
Yeah, good point.
Okay.
That might be, an option. If it's the full name that's the issue or something like that, they could, look at using the first name only.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
And I think that's about, is that for the donors or for the kids?
It's for the kids. I think the question was about child protection issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that makes a lot of sense. And again, even if that is not possible, just being able to tell a good personal story in a representational way honestly does a lot of that same work. It's not 100% as great as the other, but it's good.
And here's another question specifically kind of about this campaign, and it was, so what happens to the children whose sponsor doesn't send back the card? Did they still get the airplane mail to them?
They don't, actually. Yeah, and the way that these are distributed, they're usually distributed from what we call our area project managers to the children. So they're handed out kind of as they come in. So, you wouldn't necessarily have a situation always where other kids are seeing, their friends get the cards or letters and they're not. But there is no way for us to be able to get all of those to the kids. So the way that it works is that if the sponsor sends it back, then they get that. Now, several times a year, though, we do have, birthday parties in each of the sponsorship areas for all of the kids, and they received a gift. So even if their sponsor hadn't sent back, a birthday card or something like that, there are opportunities throughout the year where all of the children, receive something and have a big party and get to have cake and have their birthday song sung to them and all of that. So even if they didn't receive this particular package, they get other things throughout the year.
And I would add to that, World Vision has a strong community development model.
Yes.
So not only would you have kids that didn't get this still being invited to the birthday party, say, but even children living in a community supported by sponsorship who are not sponsored do receive some benefits, because the water well that's being dug is going to benefit all those kids. The school that's being built will benefit all those kids. So once World Vision comes into a community, it's really good for everybody. And, yeah, we want these personal touch points for specific kids to enjoy, but there is help and goodness that goes around the whole group in the way that they work it. So it's a pretty cool model.
I would also say, Joe, that one of the points that I made earlier is that we really encourage sponsors, that they don't have to send a gift back, just to send the card itself and what that means to the sponsored children. And so we really, are doing even more and more to educate sponsors on, you know, the fact that these cards do get delivered to their sponsor child, what it means to them. That oftentimes, I mean, we've been to the field where kids have shoeboxes and they've saved these cards, you know, for years and years, and they're treasured family possessions. So, you know, we really are trying to educate the sponsors that you don't have to send an extra gift. It's really about connecting with your child. So it's easy. Just sign this card and send it back. And so we do have, you know, response rates that are really great for these greeting cards. So we have a large percentage of sponsors that do send them back. But it's really an effort to build awareness and to also just encourage them to send them back.
And just from a business model, if you will, the people who send the card back but don't send a gift back tend to prove themselves to be better sponsors, better givers over time because they stay engaged, right? So even, you know, in a world where so much is happening on Facebook and online and there's so much talk about engagement versus return on investment, this is actually something that World Vision has been doing for some time, that even if they don't send a check with this, the engagement that comes out of this concretely leads to better giving down the road. So it works on all levels.
Great. Thank you. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we are pretty much out of time. Such great information and such a terrific package. Thank you, and congratulations on that package. Thank you to Michelle and David and Joe for sitting in. On behalf of Fundraising Success, I want to thank everyone for attending our first online Creative Summit. Go ahead and click on the gear icon below to check out a breakout session or two or four. We hope you'll listen to them all. And again, if you can't get to them all today, watch your email tomorrow for information on accessing the event on demand. Enjoy and have a great day. Thank you.